So today, Jackie read the text. Have you ever misplaced one of your children?
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose. No, but I have. You've never been somewhere where you've got your eye on your child and suddenly you look and they're not there, and you like have this freak out moment of where did they go? This is what Mary and Joseph must have felt. Because, and we go, well, they went a whole day. And the thing about them going a whole day is that they were in a caravan of people, okay? And usually that caravan of people would be somewhat like the young people at the front, the ladies next, and the men last. And the reason that they walked like that is because the little kids walked slower. The ladies walked slower. And if the men led, the men would be already home. And the children would be still in Jerusalem like Jesus was. So what they did, they walked about probably 25 miles. And they were going to set up camp because it was an 80-mile trip. So they figured they'd do it in a few days. So they set up camp, and this is when they would have all came together, and they would have been looking for Jesus. They've traveled a day. They just think Jesus, Mary probably thinks Jesus is either up front because he was 12. He could have been up front with the children, or because he was 12, because he was 1 year from being a man, he could have been hanging with the men. So Mary just presumed that he was either up front or with his dad, and his dad just presumed that he was probably up front. So they were traveling, and this is a big caravan. So, because we look at it and go, well, how did they go a whole day without knowing their child wasn't with them? It was a different time. But I've lost mine for like a few seconds when they go hide under the rack at the clothes store, and you're going, where did they go? And they just disappeared. Yeah, Ryan had a big habit of doing that, didn't he? When you would take him shopping, he would go hang out in the middle of the clothes and wonder where he'd gone. So, and you get that feeling, even for a split second, when you can't find your child, is it's like this ache, this agony inside of you, wondering where they are. So you've got to imagine how Joseph and Mary felt. Now, they were devout Jewish people. And I think that's what Luke is trying to say here. Like, they followed all the customs so far, haven't they? And now, the beginning of the text, they had been going back to Jerusalem every year. Now, I think, and a lot of scholars think, that this is probably either the first or second time that Jesus has ever been to Jerusalem. Usually they would have left the younger children at home with some other family members, the women that weren't traveling, because it was actually customary for the men to go. Okay? But women would tag along and the children would tag along. But this time, Jesus is going to be a man in a year. Okay? He's going to be a man in 1 year from this age. Can you imagine 13? I can't imagine. 30, they're hardly men today. But I'm thinking, Jesus is 1 year from being a man. And we finished it last week when we stopped our text. The last verse said, and the child grew and became strong. Filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. By the way, that's in scripture, that's about a 10-year span. Maybe 11-year span, because we don't know when. We know that Joseph and Mary and Jesus were in a house when the wise men come. So there's some time, and it had to be before 2 years, because King Herod said, kill all the babies 2 and under. So we know it was somewhere in that 2 year span that the wise men found Jesus. That was the last time we heard about Jesus. And then we get this voice, and that is what has happened to Jesus. He has grown in wisdom and knowledge. I think Jesus, only because I've read the Bible, and this is my presumption, that Jesus studied nature and studied the world around him. And I'll tell you that because where do you think he got all his parables from? From learning how the world actually works. He was fully God, but he was fully man. And he didn't come out spitting the alphabet. His mom had to teach him colors. She had to teach him words. I'm not saying he wasn't excelled with an IQ of like off the chart IQ. But he still had to learn. Because even children with high IQs have to be taught. Now, they'll outsmart you really quick if they've got a high IQ, but they have to learn. Jesus didn't come out with this halo over his head and knowing everything, he had to learn. Just like you and me learn. Because he had to experience being human. He was fully human. He experienced everything we experienced. So he had to understand that. First and foremost, Jesus had devoted earthly parents. They followed the customs of the day. They did everything that was called of them to worship God. Actually, if you read scripture, they went above and beyond. They went above and beyond because they did not need to take Jesus to the temple to offer him up. They just needed to offer him up to God. Because he was the firstborn. He didn't need to go to the temple to be offered up. But they took him to the temple. Because they went above and beyond. That is more than... They weren't perfect. Unlike the Catholic Church will say Mary is holy and never sinned. Because that's what they believe. She is not. She's not perfect. She was a broken human being, just like me, just like you. She only was a virgin until she had Jesus. After that, she would have had sex to have children because she had more children. She didn't miraculously spring out all of her sons and daughters from being a virgin. So the Virgin Mary was only a virgin before Jesus was born. And I'll tell you why also that has got to be true is because she was a good wife. And that is part of being a good wife. The two become one. Dod is the Hebrew word for that. We're not going to get into that today. But dod is the word for that. The two became one. They would have became one. She was a virgin until she gave birth to Jesus. Then they would have consummated the marriage because that's what you did. And then they had more children. They were devout earthly parents that cared very much for Jesus. And I said last week, how hard would it be to have Jesus as a son? He never does anything wrong. Because he's perfect in every way. I mean, they would have killed. Who wouldn't have children after that? It's when the first one comes out and you go, oh my gosh, I'm only having one kid. That's it. Whatever we have to do to not have any more children, we're doing. Because I don't. That's why I think God usually gives you that child second or third. So you actually have more than one child. I really do believe that. I believe that. I don't think it happens all the time, but I think it happens a lot. Usually that child is the second or third one. With my mom, it was the fourth one. Because that's not me. Actually, it was probably the third one. But she got pregnant really quick after me, so she didn't know how I was going to behave. That's the problem. So, but they were devout earthly parents. Also in Luke 2, 4 through 47, Jesus had understanding of the scriptures. This is why I think Jesus had a great IQ. Like, he could listen to something, then explain it back to you, and then you go, huh? Because he understood what the teachers were teaching him. I've got to get this closer. My eyes are bad this morning. It must be because I think I'm asleep. When they found him, it says, and all who heard, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers. By the way, this is the only time that Luke uses this word teachers for the scribes and Pharisees in the temple. He doesn't use such a nice word later when he talks about them, but that's the only time. He actually saves that for John the Baptist and other people, but not scribes and Pharisees. And he was sitting among teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. By the way, this is the best way anybody can learn. When you have a conversation with somebody and they're telling you something that is knowledge, that is truth, and you're listening to them, ask questions. That's in our nature. We should do it naturally. We should ask questions. Jesus was just doing what little boys did. He was 12 years old. And by the way, this is why I'm going to take 2 weeks on this scripture, is because this week I'm just going to do a quick overview, really, because there's so much in this. Should I tell you why? Because it's obviously important. This little bit of text is obviously important because it's the only time Jesus is talked about as a child. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. This is the only text of him as a child. So it's important. So Jesus understands the scriptures. Do you know why? Because he knew who he was. He knew who he was. See, the thing about Jesus at 12, and sometimes I think it's harder to grasp a 12-year-old being God than a 30-year-old being God, or actually the baby Jesus being God in the flesh. This 12-year-old boy, because I work, I volunteer at Rock House Kids and work with 10 and 12-year-olds. So, and you think, wow. And I remember when I was 12, you know. So, but Jesus was no less God in the temple at 12 than he was on the cross at age 33. Or in the major, or in eternity. Today, as he sits on the throne, he is no less God in any of them situations. He is fully God. Now I know the scriptures say he left that to come down. He was still God, but he left the power to come down, to put on flesh, to live a life that you couldn't live. This is part of his humanity showing up here. That he needed to learn. He was sitting under teachers. He was fully human. That's why I say, he didn't just come out the womb knowing all of this stuff. He had to learn it. Now, did he have a great understanding of it? Absolutely. He didn't need to read it and then study it and then see what other people wrote about it. He understood the scriptures. He knew what they meant at 12 years old. He even knew that it was talking about him. That's the beauty of Jesus. He knew all of that. I mean, people around him didn't. Because we find out that after 3 days, and now here's the deal. This is not what happened. They didn't go a day, come back a day, and then spend 3 days in Jerusalem looking for Jesus. That's not what the text means. It means they traveled a day. So there's 1 day. They traveled back a day, and the next day they found Jesus in the last place they looked. Do you know how I know it was the last place they looked? Because they found him. They were probably looking at other places, like thinking they're going to find this 12-year-old boy crying, saying, "Where's mommy and daddy? Mommy and daddy's been gone." I mean, but think about this. Jesus has been in the temple for 3 days, listening. Who fed him? Or did he need feeding? Was he fasting? I have all these questions that the Bible doesn't answer. And I hate that. I'm like, could you put a little bit more detail in the story, please? Because I want to know what he did for 3 days. I know he was being taught by the teachers, but I don't know what he was doing except for being taught. Because at some point he had to sleep. Did he just curl up in a corner in the temple? Yeah, but that's actually after when he's an adult and he's got the Holy Spirit on him at that point. Yeah, anything's possible. Oh yeah, no. I believe he could have fasted for 3 days. I believe that somebody could have given him a loaf of bread. Yeah. But we don't know. Jesus didn't do any miracles that we know of until he turned water into wine. We know that. And I think if he had done, we would have that written in the text, because I don't think the writers would have left out that. I don't think he actually did it because he said to his mom, "I'm not ready yet, but obviously I'll do it for you, mom." Jesus came to serve his father. It says, "And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so?'" Got to stop there, because we go, well, Jesus was perfect. What was he doing? But he wasn't treating them bad. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And it says, "Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me?" Do you realize that Mary and Joseph knew who their son was? Obviously. You don't forget that sort of thing. I mean, angels, dreams, tell you all that stuff that they went through. They knew that they had, their child was the Son of God. Here he's just saying, "Why were you looking for me? I'm in my father's house. Where do you think I would be? Where else? This is my dad's house. This is actually his house. I love and respect you," and obviously we know that because it goes on to say it at the end of the text that he, after this, he left and was submissive to his parents. But at this point he's saying, "Look, why didn't you come here first? Hey, maybe you should have checked before you got on the road to travel for a day. I'm hanging out in my dad's house because I want to learn the scriptures. I'm going to need this. later down the road. I'm learning right now. And he says, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. That's not saying they did not understand who he was. They fully understood who he was and whose he was. They just didn't understand him. They didn't understand him. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. If we go back to Simeon's prayer, what did he say? This your son is going to pierce your side. See, he was born. She'd been hanging out with him for 12 years as his mother, and he was perfect child, nothing wrong. They go to Jerusalem for probably the first time. That's why he was so in awe to be in his father's house. And he says this to her, and it stings. It pierces her side. This is the first time Mary's heart's really pierced. But she goes back, and she treasures up, because I think Mary doesn't forget all this stuff. But you know why? Because I think Mary's the one who told Luke some of this. Or told somebody, Mary told somebody, because obviously, how many times do you hear about Joseph after this? You don't. Okay? Joseph at some point dies after they have children. And at this point, they probably have them children. Those children probably are back at home. He's with them because he's the oldest son. And she remembers all of this stuff. She remembers the stuff that Simeon told her. She remembered. She didn't forget. She didn't forget who Jesus was. And then that's messed up. John 4:34 says this, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. This was really the start of his mission. He was saying, I'm in my Father's house doing my Father's will. And he continues to do it. And this is when it ends. In John 19:30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. It is paid in full. Here's the piece of paper stamped, paid. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Do you know what's so beautiful about that? That you can't do anything to get into heaven. Accept, believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. This is testify we've had. Angel Gabriel testified that Jesus was going to be born and he was going to be the Son of God. Mary testified. Joseph testified. Zechariah testified, Simeon testified, Anna testified. Now Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. When he says, this is my Father's house, he is testifying to who he is and what he is about. So Luke, in these first two chapters, is just showing you and me who Jesus is. And if we put our trust in this Jesus, the Son of God, we are saved. That's it. How easy is that? When that happens, you see, this is the thing. When that happens, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it changes you. Because God loves you just the way you are. But he ain't going to leave you that way. He's not going to leave you like that. He's going to grow you. Now, is there times where you slip back two steps and maybe three and only come forward two steps? Yes. We make mistakes. But I'll tell you this. You can never lose your salvation. You might not have it, but you can never lose it. See, people who've said, I've left Christianity behind, I don't believe it anymore, they didn't have it in the first place. They were following for what God could give them. And then God wasn't doing what they thought God should do, which is weird because if God is God, isn't it him who's in charge, not you? Yes. So they follow God when God is on their side and he's giving them everything that they want, but then they walk away because they never really had God and God wasn't the one giving them the stuff. They didn't know God. Because I'll tell you this, God owes us nothing. Jesus doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe you your health. He doesn't owe wealth to you. He doesn't owe you a house, a car, nothing. He doesn't owe you anything. Do you know what you deserve? You deserve hell. But Jesus came down and became a person so he could live a life. So if you put your trust in him, he will give you life. But I'll tell you, that life might not be perfect on this side of heaven. This life that you live, you might be in pain. Following God does not mean you're never going to suffer again on this side of heaven. Following God means you're following God. Because you belong to him. See, people get it wrong. God doesn't exist for me or you. We exist for God. See, this is the beauty. If God takes everything away from me today, everything, I mean everything, he's still God. He is still God. I'm not. See, this is the thing is, Jesus gave you a gift that you don't deserve, and then we ask for more. How many people could put their hands up and say, I deserve the cross? I'm not saying Jesus doesn't give you stuff. I'm saying they're bonuses. Anything else that God gives you is a bonus. The cross is a bonus. We don't deserve it. But he gave it to us anyway. But to do it, you've got to realize who Jesus was. And that's what Luke's trying to tell us here. Jesus was a man. Yes, he was God. But he was 100% man because God could not pay for your sins. That's why we know, by the way, that nobody else is perfect. That's why we know Mary wasn't perfect. Because if Mary was perfect, guess what? Mary could have went to the cross for us. If one of the disciples was perfect, they could have went to the cross for us. But nobody's perfect. Not one. That's pretty basic. None of us deserve anything. So we've got a Savior that put on flesh, became a man to stand in the gap for you and me. And I think that is the most important thing that you can live for, to follow him. I don't pray for better health, pray for Pray for stuff to happen in your life. Pray for God to give you a job. Pray for housing. Pray for all that stuff. But you really think about this. Do you think God is any less God in the jungle, in a hut, when they are living day by day for their food? Is he any less God? No. We just live in a world, in a country, that is so blessed that we forget. I've got to do a funeral today, this afternoon. And last week when I mentioned it, I thought it was like an older person. Okay? I asked for prayer on Wednesday thinking it was this woman's that I met during her hospice where she lost her mom. I thought that it was her brother. No. I've got to do a funeral today for her oldest son, who was 29, who died on Memorial Day. 29 years old. I mean, think about that. We complain about stuff all the time. By the way, she's a solid Christian. She, do you know why she picked me? Because I spent 3 hours with her mum. And we'd had two conversations before this when I first started working for the hospice company, because she used to work for the company. And she liked me so much. And her husband, who's the stepdad of this child, they both want the gospel preached at his funeral. So they asked me to come today so I could preach the gospel, because she said there's a lot of people there that these are her words, not mine, that are either Catholic or don't know Jesus at all. I want you to preach the gospel. You know how many funerals I've done where I've been actually asked to preach the gospel at the funeral? Very few. Very few that the actual person said, and I've done Christians' funerals that have actually said, now I preach the gospel, but they've actually come to me and said, would you preach, make sure, I don't care what you, I want you to talk about God's love and grace at his funeral today. I told him it would be an honor, knowing that I have not slept, that I wasn't going to sleep. I've actually slept for 2 half-hour naps since yesterday when I woke up at 5:30 yesterday. But I said, yes, I can do it. Because I get the opportunity this afternoon to preach the gospel to probably 100 to 300 people. I think that's an honor. And I think God is in all of it. Because her mom died a week before her son. There's somebody in that crowd today that is going to meet Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. It might only be one person, but I believe that somebody today is going to meet Jesus. Acts 16, 30 through 31 says this. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is when Paul is talking to the prison guard. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Do you know why that? Statistically, just telling you, statistically, if the dad meets Jesus, the whole house meets Jesus. That's why it's so sad that so many churches are just filled with women. And not that I don't appreciate that. I'm saying the male in the household accepts Christ and lives for Christ, and the whole house is changed. That's statistical. That lines up. This is what I love about that. It lines up with what Scripture says. It lines up with what Scripture says. All you have to do is believe. God does it anyway. And it ends. And they did not. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things. And Jesus increased. This is, by the way, 18 years of his life. This is 18 years of his life right here. And he grew, increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He continued to learn and grow because it wasn't his time to start his mission. Jesus came on a mission. So what Jesus did is hang out with mankind because he needed to live like us. He needed to feel like us. He needed to be tempted like us. He needed to mourn like us. He needed to be hated like us. That's what this is saying. He got all of that. Everybody didn't like Jesus. I mean, the Bible's pretty clear when he gets older that not many people liked him. I mean, everybody left him at the end near enough. I mean, I'm sure there was people that didn't like Jesus. How many people here went to school with somebody that seemed like they were perfect? Did you like them? Not many people like them people. And Jesus was the most perfect person that you could have. Jesus had enemies his whole life. Just like you do. He lost family members just like you do. He lost his dad, obviously. It might have not been his biological father, but I'm sure Joseph meant a lot to Jesus. He taught him how to do his skill before he... Remember, Jesus was a builder. I don't like you saying carpenter because I don't think he was a carpenter. But Jesus was a builder. Somebody taught him that trade. That was his father. He passed down his trade until Jesus was ready to go on a mission. The mission that God sent him for. We're going to get more in detail. You think, gosh, is he going to talk more on this passage? And I'm going to say yes. But not today, because there's food today. So actually, I'm doing really good because I could have preached long. John actually really said, after the tithe, I'm going to tell you preach because you won't know because you're so tired. But John is going to come up and lead us in our song. I'm going to want you to reread that scripture to get ready for part two of God incarnate. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you would send your Son, that he came here and was fully human. He went through all the things that we go through, all the pain that we suffer from, but did not sin. He lived a perfect life. He is the example of what it is to be human. He is an example of what it was supposed to be like before Adam and Eve sinned. I thank you that you, because of that, save us. Not because we're good, not because we deserve it, but because you love us. We are yours. You created us. We belong to you. I ask that you just cover us with your Spirit right now. Help us to feel that love that only you can provide. Help us to feel that grace even when we're struggling. Help us to feel that mercy even when we're worried, knowing that whatever happens, you are holding us tight. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, sir.